Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday, albeit not a victory Monday after the mistake by the lake. The Green Bay Packers dropping a 13-10 contest to the Cleveland Browns in pretty embarrassing fashion. Obviously, lots of blame to go around. People like to pick it all apart, which they should, especially fans who were so high after the first two games to watch a team go on the road and promptly lay an egg first time away from the friendly confines of Lambeau Field. It's disconcerting. You hate to see it. Certainly, as Matt LaFleur and plenty of other coaches have always said, it's never as bad as you think it is in the moment, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad, especially on the offensive side of the ball, particularly up front with the offensive line, where I'm sure you've already read and heard a lot about the failures up front in that game, but man, I don't know that you can talk too much about it because this is a unit that really fell apart their first time away from home on the road in a hostile environment against obviously one of the most formidable players in the NFL. But to Matt LaFleur's, point in his press conference earlier this afternoon, it sure looked like they maybe, perhaps, and LaFleur almost admitted as much, probably took for granted how much better the rest of those guys along that front are than possibly they were thinking heading into that game. Because whether it was Malik Collins, whether it was Mason Graham, anybody not named Myles Garrett took turns embarrassing the Green Bay Packers up front. And I get that it's problematic when you lose your right tackle from the very first snap of the game. You haven't been practicing that way all week, and then you lose Aaron Banks 30 snaps into the game, although it's not like he was covering himself in glory either when he was out there. You've got a lot of guys who haven't had a ton of reps in the positions they're being asked to play at times, and certainly that showed. It showed throughout the contest. I did like Matt LaFleur admitting, saying there was some merit to the idea that they haven't really done Jordan Morgan a bunch of favors utilizing him every which way along the offensive line. Sounded like he may acquiesce to the idea, or they as a staff may acquiesce to the idea of putting him in one spot and letting him stay there and learn there and grow there. Because, man, that was a real tough showing for Jordan Morgan. And can't make excuses. Guys asked to perform when called upon, and he most certainly did not. Now, with that said, I've seen a lot of Jordan Morgan bashing, people talking about the struggles up front, and certainly, like I said, he had a bad game. But there was plenty of kind of bad game talk to go around. You talk about Elgton Jenkins being your best offensive lineman. He had a very rough day at the office. Rashid Walker, who has been stalwart there at the left tackle spot since taking over a couple years ago when David Bakhtiari was unable to go, certainly has had ups and downs, but seemed to find a real groove there down the stretch last year. Battled throughout camp to win that left tackle spot over Jordan Morgan. Thought he played very well the first 2 weeks of the season, but talk about coming crashing back down to earth. Real rough showing for Rashid Walker. I don't think there's a guy up front who would tell you that they played well against the Browns. And it is interesting to see kind of the environment have a kind of effect on this group, where how many false starts in really bad spots, lots of third down motion before the snap of the ball, putting them in tougher down and distances. It was just an overall failure from everybody along the offensive line, everyone tasked with coaching the offensive line. You can't look at that tape. You can't look at that game. You can't look at that output and think anything other than, that's not burn the tape. Don't want to burn that tape. Got to learn from that tape, because there is a lot of what they traditionally call teaching tape is when you do something extremely well and you want to show it off. There's a lot of teaching tape where these guys can learn from some of the mistakes. And it's not like there was a ton of exotic stuff happening up front. They just got whipped physically, and even simple stunts. Having guys out of position, slow to react. And of course, yes, there's little doubt that this is a group that has not played a ton together because of the mixing and matching. So maybe that timing will be off. But wow, it was tough to watch on a consistent basis throughout the entirety of that game. Going back and watching it, you really see how much they were just physically whipped up front. And look, they're excellent. Do not take anything away from the Browns, from their players, Jim Schwartz, their coordinator. They had them in hell. But you are tasked with keeping your quarterback upright. You are tasked with making at least something that your running backs can work with. And every once in a while, they found something. They were able to generate a little bit here or there. But man, from basically kickoff to the final whistle, I would say 90% of the time, Cleveland was having their way up front. And it just makes it impossible. And we've talked about this a million times. If that's your engine, man, they're driving a jalopy off the lot in that game. I mean, they cannot do anything. The skill position players, the running backs, the quarterback in particular, are just unable to do their jobs at any kind of consistent level without the most basic shit happening in front of them, which it didn't for the majority of that game. Yeah, it's a tough one. Going to see how they respond. It's going to be very interesting to see what, A, the makeup of the line is, and B, how they kind of, you know, respond and work as a unit down in Dallas. National game, primetime, going to be a lot of eyeballs, going to be a lot of narratives heading into that game, a lot of pressure. And hopefully this is a team that is able to respond and a unit that is able to respond in the most positive possible way. I still think there's a ton of talent there. I don't think they're bad players, but they certainly, almost to a guy, had a bad collective game. And it was essentially the reason, overarching reason, they lost that game yesterday. You can talk about special teams, block kicks, an interception from Jordan Love. That's all true and all contributed. But if the offensive line is just competent in that game, they probably score a touchdown well before the fourth quarter and salt that thing away, let the defense get after it, and away we go. But because they just could not operate on offense, it allowed the Browns to stick around until disaster struck. That's my take. I'm sure your mileage may vary, and I see everyone chiming in the comments already. So good to see you all. Thank you so much for joining me. Before I get to your questions and comments, I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Before any big game, make sure your health is in championship form. With more than 115 years of trusted care and a team of experts in over 60 specialties, ThetaCare keeps athletes and fans alike game day ready, because winning starts with wellness. All right, everybody, let's see what's going on. How y'all doing? Michael C., starting us off. What's going on, man? Dear Internet, keep getting excited and frustrated by the Packers, but remember, it's a game played for entertainment and commiserating is part of the fun. Well, that's a take and a healthy one. I'm sure there are large swaths of said internet that would disagree with you, but sir, I like your approach and you're not incorrect. It is entertainment. And yes, it is incredibly frustrating when the team doesn't entertain you. And I would say lots of folks do tune in to watch offense, to watch a quarterback throw it and score touchdowns. And then when they don't, it gets very maddening and frustrating. Never mind the fact that the defense for the Packers balled out yesterday. You can derive entertainment and pleasure from that side of the ball too. But I know a lot of people don't. So when the offense struggles, people are going to be upset. But Michael, I appreciate your approach. Brian, thanks for the super chat, man. Matt LaFleur needs to address his team about putting teams away in the fourth quarter like Jack and the Departed. When I tell you to put the body in the marsh, nice. I mean, it is a wonderful concept. Again, it's great to talk about, oh, they have to put teams away. They got to go for the kill shot. Got to be aggressive at the end. But if you can't operate up front as an offensive line, which the Packers could not do yesterday, it's hard. It's real hard to put teams away, let alone just score points, you know? But yes, that is hopefully a mentality that they can arrive at as this season goes along. Craig, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Damn it, Nagler. All I wanted for Christmas on yesterday's game was for the team to show growth and progress. Why does Santa hate me? Well, Craig, I hate to tell you this, but Santa called and he said, you know, if Craig asks, don't don't give him the time of day. So I can't really speak to the big man's philosophy when it comes to you in particular. When it comes to the Packers and showing growth and progress, I mean, hopefully it's a lesson learned and that provides growth and progress. How about that? Especially as far as being on the road goes, their first road environment, first road game of the year. You saw them have some real issues getting the calls in, getting the team up to the line of scrimmage with more than, say, 10 seconds on the play clock. So hopefully they learn from that and they grow from that. I mean, you do learn probably more from your failures than you do from your successes. And if that is the case, the Packers got plenty to learn about after yesterday's game. Jesse, thanks for the super chat, man. Did you think Golden had a shot to stay in bounds in that big connection? Seemed like he didn't realize how much room he had. I'm glad you brought that up, man. I've seen a lot of conversation already about that play online today. I do think that, you know, the throw is taking him towards the sideline and his momentum essentially just carries him out of bounds. You would like him to have a little bit more awareness there and put his foot on the ground and get upfield. But I do think he's concentrating on making the catch, right? It's a big moment in the game coming off your goal line. Jordan's delivered this great ball. You don't want to drop it. You don't want to get tackled or get hit and have it pop out, right? I think he's concentrating on the catch, and his momentum as he's running just carries him out of bounds. Again, young player, hopefully, if he's in a position similar to that, he has the awareness to, yeah, secure the ball, but then, yeah, put your foot in the ground and get upfield. Because I think if he does just that, yeah, he probably scores. Given his speed, given the angles that the defenders are at, I think he's gone. And we're talking about that play in comparison to the great 99-yard touchdown to Robert Brooks that Favre threw in Chicago all those years ago, you know? So hopefully another teachable moment, learn and grow from. I did have a lot of people ask me about that play, and I don't, you know, like I said, I don't think he's unaware. I just think he's making sure he controls the football, has 2 feet in bounds, and his momentum just carries him out of bounds. And I know on the replay, I know a lot of people have pointed this out. You can see Savion Williams just like beside himself that he doesn't get upfield and score a touchdown. It's kind of funny. Joe, what's up, man? Thank you, sir. When the offensive line has a bad day across the board like that, was preparation an issue either by the players, head coach, OC, or O-line coach? Impossible to say without being in the meetings or at practice, man. I mean, you can point to that, sure, but it's just guesswork, you know? And again, whatever meetings and preparations were being made ahead of that game, it was with clearly the idea that Zach Tom was going to play right tackle. That lasted one play. So now the guys behind him, they always say you have to practice as though you're going to start, no matter if you are a starter or not. So hopefully whoever is there, you know, as your sixth, seventh lineman are taking the notes and doing what they're asked to practice and taking that on board and going home and studying the film, etc. But man, it's a fool's errand to give it any kind of certainty when it comes to what they were working on all week and whether that carried into game day, you know. And also, it does call to mind the famous Mike Tyson quote, "Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth." And Matt, it's pretty much admitted that they underestimated how good they were up front, they being the Browns. You know, you can talk about it on the whiteboard and the X's and O's and thinking, oh, we're going to do all this. And then you get out there and all of a sudden, you know, Mason Graham, who's been in the league for all of 2 games, just is absolutely wrecking you up front. Like, you know, suddenly all those plans go out the window and you're just trying to survive. You know, so again, it's really hard to kind of say that with any certainty. Ed, what's up, man? How you doing? Larry McCarron called out the line after the first field goal. They had the entire game to adjust. Really needed that sideline fan phone. Yeah, I've had more than a few folks reach out about that idea that if they could see it in the media booths, like up in the press box area, how is it that that's not being relayed, or is it not being seen by Rich Bisaccia and his 2 assistants? By the way, he's got 2 of them. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's disconcerting, to say the least. William, thanks for the super chat, man. Have been seeing way too much hate online. Stay the course. The Packers will be fine. Go Pack, go. Comment of the day. Couldn't agree more. And I keep saying this because it's A, true, but B, I feel it really needs to be said. There's never been a championship season that the Packers have had in their 100-plus year history where they haven't had a game. Maybe they didn't lose it, but they didn't. They had a game that looked completely out of character, and they got humbled and or looked ugly. Certainly in the modern era, you know, 96, 2010, both of those seasons had some ugly-ass losses to some bad football teams. And I'm not even saying Cleveland's a bad football team. Like, they're really good defensively. Offensively, they're challenged. But, yeah, this idea that the season's over, cancel it all, they're not contenders anymore because they suffered a road non-conference loss in week three? You're going to have to miss me with that. Don Vito, how you doing, man? Nags, as Packers fans, we've had games we've won where we know we were the worst team. I love raining on parades, but we'll be fine. This team is legit. I very much agree. And you're right. It does kind of work both ways, doesn't it? Certainly have had games where we've seen the Packers pull it out where they kind of got dominated or just handled. You know, the game that comes to mind when you say that is the Detroit game where Rodgers throws the Hail Mary to Rodgers at the end. We all remember that. It was an amazing moment. It's hilarious, first and foremost. But second of all, it's an incredible throw, incredible play, blah, blah, blah. But Detroit had them pretty good throughout that game. They struggled throughout that game. But we only remember that amazing moment at the end where the Packers won. You know, it does go, the door does swing both ways. William, thanks for the super chat, man. Happened at 09 versus the really bad Bucks team. Came back next week and beat the Cowboys at Lambeau. Well, Charles Woodson dominated the boys. That was the, I'm not going to call it infamous, but the famous players-only meeting. Sometimes those can go both ways, right? They have the players-only meeting, and then nothing changes, and you're like, oh, it's just a bad football team, right? But that week in particular, they had the players-only meeting, and things did turn around against the Cowboys. Now, you know, that was the, you know, year that Woodson was a defensive player of the year in the NFL, and the Packers certainly have that caliber type of player in Micah Parsons this season. So draw those parallels if you need to. But yes, that was a perfect example of, you know, they go down to Florida, get their ass kicked. It felt fucking awful around the Packers that week leading into that Cowboys game. And then they come up, whoop up on the Cowboys, and away they go. Good times. Good times. And Woodson was insane in that game. One of my favorite moments from that game is when he slot blitzes on Tony Romo and causes the fumble. Just outstanding stuff from Woodson in that game. Ed, what's up, man? I admit it, after Washington, a part of me thought maybe we'd go undefeated. Damn. Yeah, you and Rashid Walker both. Welp. Last Son of Krypton, how you doing, man? Fan is short for fanatic for a reason. You are not wrong, sir. Don Vito, thanks again, man. On the plus side for Sunday night, Dallas is ass. Like, I'm an old man and seafood doesn't agree with me. Dynamite ass. I mean, they're struggling, no doubt about it. But hey, everyone looked at the Ravens whooping up on the Browns and thought the Browns were bad. Got to go 1-0. And yes, you are correct. The Cowboys have looked bad, and they certainly looked bad against the Bears yesterday. But back home, national TV, anything can happen. And Dak has played well. I mean, I know he didn't exactly light them up yesterday, but on balance through the course of this season so far, through three games, I think he's played pretty damn well. And I know they're going to most likely, probably certainly going to be missing one of their major weapons, Lamb with the high ankle sprain, but still going to be a dangerous team. Now, the Packers on offense, that's a defense they should be able to take advantage of. But again, all the plans, all the schemes, none of it means much. Don't do the work up front. That's got to be the starting point this week. Ryback, what's up, man? Tucker Wicks and the defense, I believe he's saying, balled out. Morgan laid a carton of eggs. Savion Williams looking better every week. Yeah, I like Savion. Man, can we stop utilizing him on just running plays and or end arounds and start working him down the field a little bit? That's what I want to see. Badger Trio, what's up, man? Was at the game. Many open wide receivers. Different game if the O-line helps. Yeah, that's the frustrating part. There were opportunities, right? There's certainly moments where, you know, they play a boatload of man coverage, and there's opportunities where guys are starting to kind of break out at the top of their route. And if Jordan can just avoid the rush and or just have two more seconds, he's probably making some big throws. But that's why I talked about last night. I mean, he did what he could as far as what was available, but what was available was pretty sparse. Relax. What's up, man? Bears still suck. You know, you got it, man. You got the assignment. Doesn't matter that they kicked the Cowboys' ass yesterday. You're right. They do still suck. I'm proud of you. M, what's up, man? A bad loss doesn't affect my love for this team. Go Pack, go. Look at M coming up in here with the positivity. Absolutely love it. I'm with you, M. Now, I get it. It's fine. People get upset, angry, frustrated, whatever. Completely understandable. But, yeah, man. It's the Green Bay Packers. Of course, I still love them. Pack Daddy, you like Savion pre-draft, Nags. I think you were onto something. I just see a really super talented player who's admittedly still very raw, but wow, there's a lot of potential there. No question. Carrie, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Nags, your view of Jordan Morgan, his second year and a first-round pick. I know he's played too many positions, but where's the skill he is supposed to have? Well, you saw it in the preseason when he was playing left tackle exclusively. I do think they're not doing him any favors by playing him all over the line. I think he's got to settle in and work on one position. The problem is he's not a starter, so he's not afforded that opportunity because he's got to be able to step in when people get injured or guys go down, whatever. But yeah, right now, he's all over the map. I think he needs to tune in as far as his technique goes, finding that consistency. The catch-22, though, is you do that by playing. But he's only playing when they need to break glass in case of emergency. And they're doing it at different positions almost every time he's out there. It's tough, man. He's in a tough spot. I do think, though, he's still got plenty of upside. I know no one wants to hear that after the game that we saw yesterday, but that one game won't define him. Michael, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. That game reminded me too much of the 21 divisional round hosting San Francisco, also scored only 10 points in that game. Good thing it wasn't the playoffs. I mean, yeah, the block punt in that game, eerily similar to the point of, you know, providing what they needed to win the game, much like the block kick yesterday. Let's see. Morgan, I think, is a left side guy, whether it be tackle or guard, is yet to be determined. Yeah, I just think he's a left tackle. I don't think, and I know lots of scouts thought he would be a candidate to transfer and play inside, but I just haven't seen it. I didn't see it last year. Certainly haven't seen it this year, whether in the summer and camp or in the preseason. But when he's played left tackle and been able to concentrate on left tackle, he's played well. You know, you just hate to see the fact that the only time he gets opportunities is when he's kind of plugging holes and not getting a chance to play his preferred position. It's not great. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.